You're with Karine Rayson from The Crew Coach. I help super yacht crew master their own mental health, elevate their leadership skills, and access a powerful network of like-minded individuals. I do this through my Gesai Army accredited leadership course, online counseling, as well as my exclusive membership for Yacht Crew called TCC Tribe. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Yachting International Radio, the Wellbeing Project. You're with Karine Rayson from The Crew Coach. And today, my guest is Michelle. Michelle is the founder of Dynamic Career Goals. Is that correct, Michelle? Yes. I'm thinking career growth, but that's all, I think, connected anyway. But lovely to have you here. And I know it's quite late for you in the evening, but let's get started. Michelle, before we do, if you don't mind sharing a little bit about yourself. I know you've got 20 plus experience in marketing and PR, and you have done a master's in executive leadership, a really fascinating career. But before we jump into the juicy stuff, who are you? Who do you serve? What do you do?
Sure. Well, thank you so much for having me here. I'm excited to speak to your audience. And I have been really in the education space for a really long time. You mentioned that I have a communications and marketing background. I was a communications and marketing director for majority of my career for large public universities in the US. And I also worked in collegiate sports for a little while doing media relations. So I'm very used to being in a crazy fast-paced environment, especially when I worked in sports. That was a 7 day a week job, all hours of the day, especially if your sport is on national TV and you have all that media coverage to work with. So I kind of did something a little bit crazy about 4 years ago. I quit my job and I kind of reached a wall in my career and really did a lot of assessment about, okay, what's going to move me forward. And for me, that decision was going back to school and getting my master's. And I chose executive leadership because I wanted to get more education in a business school setting. I really had never taken business classes as an undergrad. And I really specifically wanted to learn more about the people side of business and what it takes to lead a organization, especially when there is a lot of ambiguity and change happening. Like, how do you navigate those waters? And it was really, really great program. I loved all my classes except accounting. And I graduated from that in 2019 and decided to just go out on my own. And some of that was the result of the pandemic, right? I wasn't too crazy about the idea of going back into an in-office setting when the pandemic first started. Me personally, I was a little bit of a high risk to be exposed to COVID. So I basically lived in a bubble for a while in my house and just worked from home. And the other thing that really spurred me to pursue a business focused on professional development was it was just a need that was coming my way. I had so many people in my network, whether they were my former employees or interns or students that I taught at the university level, come to me with you know, needing career advice. They were getting laid off, they were getting furloughed, they were getting their job redesigned as a result of other people being laid off and furloughed in their organization. And while they felt lucky to have a paycheck, they were trying to navigate, how do I do the job of 2 to 3 people now? And oh, by the way, I'm not getting paid any more money for it. And what do I do?
Yeah.
So I naturally just fell into that and then realized, okay, so I don't have to have like a higher VP or C-suite role at a company to make a difference. I could just work with individuals one-on-one and be able to make a difference that way. And so that's what I've been doing for the last couple of years. And it's been really rewarding. I primarily work with women and help them navigate really tough things at work, whether it's advocating for yourself, whether it's pursuing a better work-life blend, or, you know, negotiating your salaries and things of that nature. So it's been really, really rewarding.
Fantastic. What a wealth of experience there. I am curious to know, through working with different teams and organizations, what do you think is the biggest hiccup or obstacle that they come across in general in a workplace in terms of problematic behavior, let's say?
Okay. I think probably some of the biggest hiccups I've seen on various teams and organizations has really been a lack of leadership. Typically, in the areas where I've worked, it's not uncommon for somebody to be promoted into a leadership / management role because of their work experience, as far as they're really good at their job, or in a university setting, they're a really amazing researcher. They've published in all these journals. So now they're going to be a manager or leader. And while that makes some sense, the big piece that is really missing in a lot of environments that I've been in is there is no leadership or management training offered when these people are moved into those roles. And so that's where I really see a lot of breakdown in organizations, is just people not knowing how to properly lead and manage, or their management style is the polar opposite of what their team really needs. They're not being adaptable to the environment that they're in. And then you start seeing a lot of turnover, employee production goes down, employee morale goes down. And so things that I witnessed in the workplace, not only with my own eyes, but just, you know, talking with friends and colleagues and seeing what they're dealing with, especially women, really made me understand the importance of really learning how to lead and manage. I found myself in that type of role at a very young age. I was named a communications director. And so I had to really learn a lot on the job. And luckily I had amazing bosses and mentors, you know, early on in my career, where I learned a lot from them by watching them manage and lead. But that's the problem that a lot of organizations have, right? If people are just watching the behavior of management and leadership, maybe management and leadership isn't always doing the right thing, because maybe they're not trained in those areas. It just will repeat a cycle of poor leadership and management, because if people are only learning by observing instead of learning like the exact strategies that you should be doing as a leader or manager and how to handle certain situations that come up. And in my own career, I reached a point where I didn't have all the tools that I needed as a manager and leader of my department, because I had an employee who was being bullied in the workplace by somebody outside of our team. And so the only thing that I knew what to do was to go to HR and involve human resources. And that was the right thing to do. But through that, I really learned a lot. And that's when I started seeing the gaps in my own leadership and management, just because there were just things that I never personally encountered. So I didn't know how to navigate them. And now, having gone back to school and having a better understanding of really organizational behavior and some of the other things that impact a workplace, I am much more comfortable going in and navigating very, you know, complex situations with people in the workplace.
I love what you're saying there, because it resonates with me. In particular, the one thing is what I find in our industry. Now, I offer a 3-month leadership course, and it's all about self-leadership. As you have identified, it's like recognizing the learning gaps within yourself so that you can be a better leader for others. What we find in our industry is that you can quickly climb the ranks, and if you've got the tickets or the work experience behind you, then you are a leader. So there's no focus on soft skills. How do you know whether you need to invest in your leadership? Now, I know that's a very broad question, but I just want to make it more targeted and focused in relation to particular skills that you may not be aware that you're lacking, that might encourage you to therefore do something like a leadership course.
Sure. I think that's a great question. And we really have to look within ourselves. We have to also look at the environment that we're in too, and the types of people that we're working with. So you really need to have a high self-awareness for starters. And you need to be able to have strong communication skills, but you also need to pick up on cues of your teammates, because everybody has different strengths and weaknesses on a team. And you really need to be in tune with how to uncover those strengths and weaknesses on a team so that you can be a better leader and a better manager if you're in a management position. Mm-hmm. I am of the thought that anybody can be a leader. It doesn't matter where you are in the ranks. You don't have to have an official title. You don't have to be a manager to be a leader. And so and that's something that I witnessed a lot in different organizations. I was always the one that was usually really late in the office and working long hours. It was just kind of the nature of my job. And then my proclivity of being a little bit of a workaholic. I got to know the janitorial staff at one of my organizations, and I watched how they led just by how they did their job, how they treated their coworkers. And, you know, they were in a job role that was for the most part pretty thankless by a lot of people within the organization. But I got to know them, and I loved, you know, watching them interact with their colleagues and just the conversations that I had with them. And there was definitely leadership, you know, within them and the way that they did their job. And so, but they weren't president of the organization, right? So I think people sometimes are really quick to assume that in order for me to make a difference in the organization, I need to have a fancy title or I need to be in charge. Yeah. And you really miss a big opportunity to do other things if that is your definition of being a leader or the only way I get leadership experience. So I think even in my early career, I took advantage of, you know, different opportunities that were given to me. And even though, yes, I was, you know, the student intern, I was really treated for the most part almost like a full-time staff member. And as far as the things that they entrusted me with and the respect that I had earned, and it was just the way I conducted myself and also wanted to be an active contributor to the team and worked anywhere I could to help people that I was working with. I think that's another thing that can really help, is you just kind of being outside of like your own immediate needs in the workplace and seeing how you can help others. And that lends to leadership as well.
100%. And in the course, we learn about servant and transformational leadership. And that's exactly what that is that you're describing. Michelle, what's the difference between management and leadership?
Sure. So management is really just trying to get, you know, the day-to-day things done. Maybe there's an overall goal or mission that's been placed on you, and now you've got to make sure this gets done. Leadership is more about vision and more about getting buy-in from the team to move in the direction that you want to go. And so, you know, it's a little bit different. Yes, there are people that are managers and leaders, but, you know, I've certainly been in roles where on different committees at work where I'm not in charge, I'm not the person with the highest title in the room, but I had certain contributions that I had to make to the committee, and I had to get buy-in from everyone in the room. And so that takes a little bit of leadership, but I wasn't in charge of managing all of those pieces or the people in the room, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it certainly does. Now, I know that you're coming into our masterclass in our lunch and learn session, and this is something that's brand new to my company, The Crew Coach, and it's an opportunity to have an hour of, I would say, power learning, where you can really accelerate your growth. And we're going to be talking about, well, you're going to be teaching us about chaos in the workplace and how to achieve a sense of calm. So I know you've got a meeting in a few minutes, so we'll have to wrap it up. But if you can give us a little bit of insight, what we will be learning in that session, that would be fantastic.
Sure. So it really starts with understanding, you know, why is your work environment chaotic? And so I mentioned that I've worked in very fast-paced environments. I've worked in chaotic environments. And a lot of those reasons can be traced to really just not having a strong vision and the right priorities in place. And so I don't want to spoil everything that I'm teaching because what I'm doing is I'm breaking it down in a really step-by-step manner. I've taught this to business owners. I've taught it to companies and employees. And they like how practical the approach is to really calming the chaos at work. But it does require you to either ask some tough questions or, you know, have some tough conversations. And I'll be sharing what I did to really help calm the chaos for my team. My team was, we were really overstretched. We did not have all the resources we needed to do our job. Just to give you an idea, I had a team of three at one point for communications and marketing for a college that had 23 academic departments, 22 research centers and institutes, and about 600 faculty, 17,000 students. That's big.
Wow.
So there was a lot of things always going on, right? And it was a lot to keep up with. And were we helping everybody at the same time? No, but we still had a pretty large volume of workload. And at one point we started doing about 200 events a year out of my office. And I had an event coordinator for that, but she was, you know, drowning in work. And we were just going at a very unsustainable pace, right? And so we needed to have some tough questions and we needed to really focus on really, what is the mission here? We were just saying yes to everything. We were kind of being asked to say yes to everything. Mm-hmm. And we needed, you know, clearer boundaries of what really is our responsibility and what's not our responsibility. And in consulting with other working professionals and organizations, the ones that feel really chaotic is there really aren't very clear boundaries. There's not a really clear vision or description in place of really what are the main priorities. And so I'm going to share with y'all how to kind of navigate that, what you really need to focus on, regardless if you're a manager, a leader, or, you know, just an individual contributor, depending on how your job is structured. These are all good things that you should consider on an individual level as well as an organizational level, because at least if you as an individual have this information of how to navigate it, it sets you up to ask the right questions and identify ways on your own to calm the chaos at work. And perhaps that will lead to some improvements if in your organization or your team. And then at the very least, sometimes getting this information and trying to implement it yourself, and you might see resistance within your organization, that can also be a signal to you, I may not be in the right fit for me. Maybe I need to look elsewhere and be on a team that, you know, will function more like this, and being very goal and mission driven. And one little tidbit I'll share is when you do have goals set, you will know what to say yes to and what to say no to, because it's very easy to get pulled into 1,000 directions, especially if there aren't clear roles defined within an organization. And that's where things get really chaotic. Mm-hmm. And so I look forward to giving you the tools that you need to calm that chaos at work. And at the very least, learn how to do it for yourself. And then hopefully you can start implementing it throughout your team or organization.
Amazing. So excited for that masterclass. And I've got heaps more questions to ask you, but I'll save it for the masterclass. Michelle, okay. Thank you so much for your time. You're welcome. What a pleasure. And looking forward to connecting with you again soon.
Yeah, I can't wait.